This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
You know what today is. The 21st, not December. Not December. Did we do that once before? Earth, Wind, and Fire, baby. This is the day. Now, you could play this over and over again. Yeah. Every DJ at every wedding could play
it's like,
this.
It's like great exit music, too.
But of course. But like this song could be played over and over again, and you could play it for me randomly, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Come on, listen to this.
I can't even hit it. I can't go there. Remember. Okay. Go ahead and say that. Give it to him, Alan.
Come on now. So, yes, that's what today is, the 21st of September. And it is it's the second hour of the show. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Michael Kay, the voice of the Yankees, is going to join us in about 10 minutes ago. Get his perspective. He was on the call. He made the call for the YES Network for home run number 60. Boy, I really hope he's on the call for home run number 61 and number 62, but we know that that's going to get dicey the rest of this week.
Is it like when the Patriots won the Super Bowl, like people simulcast other programs pick it up because they want to see history?
No, 100%.
So maybe they pick it up. Maybe the YES Network said, no, we up in this.
You know what?
We up in this.
I want to ask Michael Kay if
he got the power.
If he's not on the broadcast, does he go in the radio booth, which he used to do?
Oh.
Which I don't know if he'd do that to John Sterling.
They
but you know
to,
what else?
They might have
would
to kick up the K-Rod show. They might have to kick the K-Rod show up.
Would you do this?
Saying?
Would you record yourself making the call? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like with, or is that corny?
I mean,
like, what would I say in the moment? All right, I'm going to call this at bat. Like, every time he's up, you just, like, put yourself in front of, like, a Zoom.
No, he should go Instagram Live.
Instagram Live.
Let the people, all the Michael Kay fans, Instagram Live.
That's smart.
All
right, let's talk to Kay.
So he's doing it live.
We're going to tell Michael Kay how he can circumvent all this and still be the voice on the call. So that's just in a few minutes. But you know what, Bart? We have got week three coming up tomorrow. And we've got, I don't know about tomorrow's game.
We got the Bumbo. I mean, never mind.
I mean, it is the AFC North.
It is
a rivalry game.
Let's see if they can get some fights.
If somebody can get going.
Somebody might die. Football, Dev, quit coming at me. I'm not saying die for real.
Yeah,
I'm talking about get knocked the hell out.
Yeah, figuratively.
Right.
But let's just go to something that won't be involved in week three, and that's Mike Evans, who, the Buccaneers wide receiver.
Yep.
Who was got into the altercation once again with Marshawn Lattimore of the Saints. And it was suspended for a game. He appealed it. And I know we're all shocked.
Yeah.
But the NFL heard the appeal and said, no, you're still going to be suspended.
And here's the thing, right? In past years, if you went and fought for it, it would take a couple of weeks. They have to set a date. And it was never like the week of the suspension. So you can always find a way.
Understand? Play during your appeal, right?
Right. And then
they heard it immediately.
Right. They heard it immediately because they knew what he was trying to do. He understands that Chris Godwin is hurt. They just signed Cole Beasley to the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
Brady hates Scotty Miller, right? The left tackle's hurt. So they're really going to have to lean on Mike Evans, and he's not there. He's not available. So who becomes the number one receiver? Rashad Perriman?
Mm.
Like, so he was trying to do that so he can give Brady a weapon for a pivotal game that could be the difference between hosting a game in the playoffs or actually having to travel to a place like Lambeau. So he thought he was doing something smart, but the NFL was smart enough to hear it immediately, deny it, and now you have to make, I don't care, you have to make Green Bay the favorite.
And they play each other, the Bucs and the Packers, so Brady versus Rodgers.
Yeah.
And you got Rodgers and his, his new look, and you have Brady, and he looks like Zoolander.
I don't know what, man.
I mean, he looks thinner and thinner.
Yo, I can see his heartbeat.
So here's another part of the story, though, because remember, as you mentioned, Brady kind of started it.
Yep, running his mouth, complaining. Then,
but was it Brady? Because the NFL has actually warned the Bucs sideline because Bruce Arians, we see in the background,
which was weird that he was on the sideline.
Yeah, he's no longer the head coach. For those who forgot,
you don't see Ozzie Newsome on the sideline.
He is actually
Gettleman on the sideline,
senior assistant to the general manager. Now you do see front office guys somewhere like off in the distance,
and that's when the end of the game
late
is coming.
Games, yes.
This was not late in the game.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't want to see them, like Herm Edwards walking off the field with Arizona State, and there's the president and the athletic director
come on the field. Come up to the principal's office. Let me holler at you.
I mean, Herm deserved better than that. Like, the whole world got to see him get fired. But anyways, So the league has sent a warning. This is Jenna Lane reporting this, according to sources. The league sent a warning to the Bucks and to Bruce Arians about his conduct on the sideline during that game.
It was childish. He was arguing with Lattimore, and he was cussing at him back and forth with a player.
Yeah, he was very animated when Lattimore, I guess, was
they were complaining
didn't get
about
the pass interference. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly, on of all people, Scotty Miller. And it led to Brady, you know, yelling stuff and all that. So it and then Mike
Fournette,
Evans gets ejected.
Then Fournette happened. He punched Fournette in the face, and Mike Evans comes in, shoves him in the back.
But Bart, I understand that Bruce Arians is technically allowed. I mean, he's got full, you know,
it's a bad taste. It sounds like he's micromanaging.
What I want to see. You as a player, that's what I wanted to ask you. Because I haven't heard anybody really make a big deal about this, because I guess it's not a big deal if it's any front office person. You have access. He has full access to the sideline, to the field. He should. He's a team executive.
I don't need him down there commenting to players.
Todd Bowles is the head coach now. You were just the head coach.
Yeah.
Is it a bad look? If you're a player, is it a bad look? Does it give, like, is it confusing to see your former head coach on the sideline while your current head coach is running the team?
Because it makes
talking, acting up, not like just kind of staying off to the side. He was right in the middle of stuff.
Because it makes you feel like, hey, is he really the guy that determines my playing time? Is this a guy? How many decisions is he making? Is he coming down here? Especially he's an offensive guy, so is he coming down here speaking to the receivers? Hey, man, you got to run this stick like that. Like, it's like one of those things where you know he knows. It's just like if I go back to my high school and they honoring me or something, I'm on the sideline, and their coaching staff's been coaching this kid all week, and I come down there and tell him do something different. And I'm just talking to him like, yo, man, like, whoa.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's
he's micromanaging.
At least
that
you
presence.
Weren't there before, though. Like, you were a guy that comes in and everybody's just going to be, you know, oh, wow, Bart's here. But it's like Bruce has always been on the sideline. In fact, he was dressed as if he was
coach. Like, he was coaching.
Like, he was dressed like he was coaching.
Regular attire.
It's one thing, like, when you see, like, Jason Light, he's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's like he's not in what coaches would normally wear.
Yeah.
He looked like he was, I mean, the only thing he was missing was a damn clipboard.
Exactly. And the headset.
I don't know. Why isn't that a bigger story? Why aren't we hearing more about that from all the players that we have working at ESPN? I've watched the shows all week.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody bring that part of this thing up. Yeah. Like,
I spoke about that immediately.
You did? We talked about it on Monday.
I was like, what is he doing? Like, why is he on the sideline? Why is he yelling at players?
I felt like I was making too much of it until you said, no, it's true. But I've yet to hear somebody say something about the fact that now the league now just let him know this kind of behavior is not acceptable.
Because I'm sure Lattimore and his Saints submitted film. Like, look at him. Hey, what is he doing? He's sitting there cussing at my players.
Yeah, mouthing off. Now, it doesn't mean that other executives on other teams haven't done the same thing. A very competitive sport. We know how people are. I just looked at it as that guy was just the coach a few months ago.
Yeah.
And now he got kicked upstairs because I guess Tom didn't really want to be there. I don't know. Whatever the story is, he got kicked upstairs, stepped away. And the guy that was the head coach was elevated from defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, if you brought me in from the outside, no. He's not on our sideline, right? No. You're either coaching or you're not.
Yeah.
But Todd is not going to say anything. He's too focused on the game. But it is a weird look, a very weird look.
Well,
now,
it's a pivotal game without Mike Evans. Brady's going to have to be the best version of himself. This defense is going to have to step up and stop Aaron Jones. Not so much Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Jones, because he put on a show, and it looks like they're going to let the offense run through him and get him on the field as a receiver, as a running back.
Right.
And let's see if that type of defense can stand up, because Aaron Rodgers usually finds a way when you can't get a big lead on him. Last year, Tampa went out and you know, beat Green Bay and beat him up pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm sure this will go different.
Yeah, and it's something that – one of several games this weekend that are going to be must-watch, and that certainly is one of them. All right, so we have that going on right now, but we also have continuing the story of what we saw last night in the Bronx, and Aaron Judge, and it hitting home run number 60, but what it also sparked, an amazing comeback, which included a walk-off grand slam by, of all people, Giancarlo Stanton, who hadn't been able to hit anything
forever,
getting booed and all kinds of stuff. So the man who was on the call, Michael Kay, is set to join us here in just a few seconds, but before we get to that, Bart's got to tell us about Granger.
For all the ones who get it done, Granger is here for you, and they're always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff, and curbside pickup at over 250 local branches. And to get your free access to product specialists ready to help you track down those hard-to-find items, Plus, Grainger's commitment to being your safety partner can help keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER. Click Grainger. Call 1-800-GRAINGER. Click Grainger.com or listen, just stop on by. I was just too excited to get to the guest, man.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's the 3-1. Drill deep to left field. There it goes. Number 60. Slide over, babe. You've got some company. Aaron James Judge has tied George Herman Babe Ruth with 60 home runs.
The call from the great Michael Kay on the Yes Network last night, and what an ending that game was, but what a moment as well, as a historic home run, number 60 for Aaron Judge, and what it sparked and everything else. Michael Kay joins us right now, of course, the host of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN in New York, and of course, you see him on the K-Rod broadcasts for Sunday Night Baseball.
I have to kick it up, man.
Michael, here's the first thing we want to talk about. If somehow, some way, you are not able to be on the broadcast for home run number 62. Bart and I think you should just like go like IG live. Like just circumvent the whole thing and make sure you're the voice that calls that home run. Your thoughts?
My thoughts is that I would probably get arrested. It's illegal. Second thing, I've always been the guy, if I'm not invited to a party, I don't want to go. I'm not going to force my way in. So because of contracts and stuff like that, if I don't get to call it, then, unfortunately, I'm not going to get to call it. I'll talk to Judge today and say, just hit me today and get it over with.
Right, just take care of it right now and get it over with. But the moment itself, though, last night, like I couldn't believe, we were making fun of the people that walked out of the building when it's, you know, you're down four, but you got to know the Judge is leading off the ninth. You might think, all right, we're not coming back, but you still want to see. You got to see every at-bat at this point because everyone matters. But can you just, your own mindset. You're broadcasting a game that, you know, it was a weird game. Then the bullpen gives up the lead, and now you're at four runs going into the ninth. Are you yourself even wondering like what's coming next? It's Aaron Judge, so you got to get geared up for that. But you couldn't have seen what was coming.
No, I didn't see the rally. Although the Pirates are pretty bad and the bullpen's pretty bad. But I agree with you and Bart. I looked around the stadium, and you know, I'd say 30% of the people that were there at the start were gone. And I don't think a lot of people came to the stadium to see the Pirates. And this is one of those times where a game is almost the sidebar.
Right.
Everybody was there to see Aaron Judge, and you knew he was going to lead off the ninth inning. I mean, it wasn't an inordinately long game, so under what thought process do you leave the ballpark before he gets his final at bat? And if you did, boy, you missed a lot.
You know, everybody's going to want to focus on, once he gets the record, how much money he made for himself and the pressure that he puts on the Yankees. But, you know, I love talking to you because you have such historical context on things that happens, especially, you know, nobody's more dialed in, you know, with the Yankees than yourself. When he breaks this record, where does this rank as far as historical moments in the Yankees franchise? And where does this moment or that moment fit?
Well, in terms of personal accomplishments, I mean, because this is a team with 27 championships, so you almost have to move those to the side. But in terms of personal accomplishments, it's got to be on the Mount Rushmore, the top four, maybe top five, because Babe Ruth hitting 60 was one of those moments, and Maris hitting 61 and 61 was one of those moments. So the guy who passes them, this is definitely going to be one of those moments. This is a homegrown Yankee. Babe Ruth was not a homegrown Yankee. Roger Maris was not a homegrown Yankee. This guy was drafted by the Yankees, came up through their system. I think it's going to wait up there with one of the biggest moments in the organization on a personal basis. It's just, I'm watching it unfold in front of me, and I've been covering the team 36 years, and I don't think I've ever seen a season like this. This is just, you almost look at this season and you see the highlights, and they should be done in black and white because he's a throwback.
Yeah.
You know, this is like a 1940s or a 1950s player because we've almost signed off on the fact that guys who hit a lot of home runs are going to hit 210. Not this dude. This guy might win the Triple Crown, so it's just amazing what he's doing.
Michael Kay joining us right now, the voice of the Yankees on the YES Network, and of course on the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN in New York, and the K-Rod cast as well on Sunday Night Baseball. Aaron Judge hit home run number 60 last night as part of an amazing ninth inning comeback. But Michael, again, just you said it, Triple Crown, home run record chase that now he's at 60. Talk about betting on yourself. I mean, how could he possibly not wear any other uniform than a Yankee one next year?
Well, the possibility exists. Obviously, when he bet on himself, he turned down $213 million. So he's looking for a big score. And, you know, the Yankees, you guys are both based in New York. They're very, you know, they're very rational when it comes to this. Now winning a Triple Crown and ending up with like 65, 66 home runs, maybe rationality goes out the window. But, you know, the one thing that people keep asking me, guys, well, is he going to feel pressure as he gets close? And I go, pressure? Guy has felt no pressure leaving $213 million on the on the floor. So why would this be any pressure? The guy's been doing it for the second half of the season with no protection in the lineup. It's still a mystery to me why anybody pitches to him. And they don't give him a lot of pitches to hit, but he's so locked in, he still hits balls over the wall. So this is a season for the ages. It really is. And, you know, you would assume that the perfect marriage is Aaron Judge and the Yankees. You know, he deserves to have 99 up on that wall and end up in Monument Park. But we've seen other great players leave organizations before. If it comes down to money and, you know, somebody wants to give him 10 years, the Yankees might say, I'm sorry, you're 30 years old. I don't know if we want to give you 10. It's going to be an interesting negotiation. I think in New York, you can have two of them. You can have that, and you can have the DeGrom negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Would the Mets give him $45 million a year for a guy who's injury prone? So I'm fascinated to see how they both unfold.
Hey, Mike, early in the season, we kind of talked about this, and you said that you thought that 213 was a fair and a good deal. What do you think about that deal now?
Well, I don't think that gets you in the door now. But I think at the time that it was made, I believe that it really was a fair deal. And I also said I didn't begrudge Aaron Judge the right to say, you know, I want more. Mm-hmm. You know, this is your chance at the brass ring. And he thought he was worth more. And right now, you can make the argument without too much pushback that he's going to get over $40 million a year, maybe even more than that. And the Yankees offered him a 7-year deal. I think there's going to be one team out there that will offer more. And then it's going to come down to the Yankees. Do we want to give him an 8-9-year deal? Do we want to give him $40 million a year, which would make him the highest-paid position player in baseball? So he hit the jackpot. He really did. He's answered two questions this year and last year. He stayed healthy both years, and he's faced the pressure, and he's performed like nobody's ever performed before with that sort of pressure on.
And I'll tell you what, the pressure part of it, I mean, when you get to 50, okay, you get to 55, it's interesting. When you're sitting on 59, you have to feel it. And he's been amazing how he has avoided, he doesn't talk about the individual. I mean, you know he's got to be thinking about it. He says he's not, but you know he is. But that's the part that really, to me, is the most amazing. Like you said, he has been so even-keeled. He's almost been pitch-perfect with everything he's talked about. All that matters is winning. Team success is what matters. I mean, if they didn't win that game last night and he still hit the 60th, he probably would have had more of a subdued tone in the postgame. But he was happy, genuinely happy, because they won. I dare call it Jeterian. You know, like the way he's just conducted himself this whole year, knowing the money he left on the table, the chase that he's in the midst of that now has everybody watching every at-bat. It's really amazing to see what he's become, not as a player, but as a pro athlete in the crucible.
Well, if you went into a laboratory and you developed a perfect New York player, it would be this guy. Hmm. Handles himself well in front of the media. He does work off the Jeter songbook where, you know, he's certainly very accessible to the media. Doesn't really say much, doesn't get himself in trouble, never makes himself a headline, and goes out and produces. And I really believe he would not have enjoyed the 60th home run as much as he did if they hadn't won. Because if you watched the game and he came out for the curtain call, he looked miserable. He felt really awkward doing it. And then he was all smiles after Stanton hit the home run. So it just played out perfectly. And in terms of pressure, Alan, you think about it, you know, the last game in Milwaukee, the Yankees, they lose the first two games. He's at 57. And boom, he hits two of them.
Yeah.
So once you get to 59, it's home free after that. So he's definitely going to get the record. It's just a point of how far is he going to go. And, you know, some people are saying, well, could he challenge Bonds? Well, I don't put anything past this guy. I highly doubt it. But I could see him getting to 70. I really can.
Wow. That would be absolutely amazing. Now, we were having fun with you, and you're taking the high road. You're being classy. You're not going to try to pull some kind of, I'm going to go on social media and make the call kind of thing, which I didn't expect. We were having fun with that. But I am curious about this, as somebody that, like you, has been doing play-by-play, called them, some of the biggest moments, Jeter, those World Series. And I know you say you don't premeditate calls, but are you thinking at least about it when you think about what 62 might sound like if you are on the call for it?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not going to lie about that. I think if there's any young broadcasters listening, you really, really should think twice about scripting a call. Because there are some big-name guys in our business that do it, and you can hear it, and it's on an index card in front of them, and sometimes they stumble over words. What I do, guys, is, like, I'll set up, like, guardrails, maybe, of what I want to get in. I knew yesterday I wanted to get in Babe Ruth, and that Babe Ruth had company, but slide over Babe Ruth just came out of my mouth when it happened. So there's certain things I want to touch on if I get to call 61 and 62, but the calls are not planned because I think you really get yourself in trouble that way.
Slide over, babe, is something I think, I've said once in a while to my wife. So, it seemed fitting.
But that's why you do best,
and you probably said a lot when you were single, too.
I'm going to leave that off the air, but yeah. As I was saying that, I'm like, I don't know where I'm going with this, so I want to back off. But it sounded so smooth when you said it, so.
But thank you.
But
it was fun.
It is definitely one of those things that I've always wondered about. It. Do you think about it ahead of time? I guess you want to have a plan, but you definitely don't want to have it scripted. What we all hope is it is you that makes the call, because as you've had some great ones in the past, this one would certainly be epic. Michael, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Of course. I do have one issue, though. If I do K-Rod and he doesn't have it on Sunday, do I go into real announcing mode when Aaron Judge comes up during the K-Rod cast?
You have to.
And listen,
I don't think anybody would say, if you did that, if every time Judge came up, the K-Rod cast stopped, I don't care who you're talking to. You got a Billy Crystal sitting there in the studio.
They give you to Bob Uecker.
Like, Billy, hold on a second. This is my time. And then you just, hey, single on me. And then you do every at-bat of Judge during that. You would have to. No one would have a problem with it.
And Mike, I might show
Carl
up.
Carl Ravitch might have a problem with
Mike,
it.
Mike, I might show up to the game, and if you see me drop kick an old lady, you know it's for the baseball, and I'm not giving it back.
Yeah, this is the other story. Is just
yeah, we had on Brandon Steiner yesterday on our show, and he said that the 60-second home run would be worth $2.5 to $3 million.
Yeah, Grandma, you lived your life. Get out the way.
Oh my God.
You can't enjoy this 2.5 like I can.
This kid last night just giving the ball back, and all he wanted to do is tell Judge, please come back to the team. You mean so much to us. Yeah. I thought this is
he must be a trust fund. He must be a trust fund, baby.
Yeah, right. His finances
That's
are
a very sweet thing to do, but a lot of people might not do it that way.
Hell no.
My dad owns air. Like, what? Your dad owns air?
Yeah. Exactly what it is.
I don't need this pocket change.
Michael, thanks so much. All the best.
You got it, guys.
All right, bye. Michael Kay. In New York, you can hear him coming up after our show on 98.7 ESPN. And, of course, you can see him on the S Network on the calls. if he's doing the K-Rod cast, if you're Carl Ravitch, you almost have to know. Like, everybody just switch over.
Yeah.
Like, just go over to the K-Rod cast real quick. Right?
There it goes.
See ya. Exactly. The famous call. All right, coming up, we have our own famous call.
Meh.
We have our own famous person.
Meh.
Who shows up next, because we have a week three to talk about. And to do that, we go to Barstradamus.
Redemption.
Barton Hahn.
Redemption.
ESPN Radio.
Yes.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn presented by Progressive Insurance. For a job you love, visit progressive.com/careers. Bart Scott.
Careers, man.
Yeah. Bart, I'm going to need you to do me a favor.
What it?
I'm going to need you to step aside.
Oh.
Because it's that time of the week, as we now have closed up week two. We head now into week three of the NFL season. And to do that, we need to get some clarity, some advice, some predictions. for what we can expect to see in week three. And to do that,
some insight,
we'd like to bring in Bart Stradamus.
Redemption. Redemption. I call on thee. Empower me. Give me sight beyond sight. Yes. Week two was doom. But the sun, like Annie says, shall come out. Shall come out.
Did you just quote Annie?
Tomorrow.
Wow.
Welcome, Alan.
Oh, no, I welcome you to our studio, Bart Stradamus,
for this
week.
No, I welcome you.
Okay.
I'm always welcome.
Omnipresent Bart Stradamus. You are America's guest, so. And here you are with us. I want to play you something that was said by our own Stephen A. Smith in regards to a Ravens team that looked like they were, you know, just going to run away with a game and then just gave it away. And the Dolphins win that game. And now the Ravens face another AFC East team in the Patriots. Ooh. So, Bart Stradamus, there was once upon a time in Baltimore where defense was everything.
The Baltimore Ravens defense, particularly against the pass, has been trash. You know that. They have been an embarrassment to the legacy of Ed Reed, of Ray Lewis, and what we've customarily expected from the Baltimore Ravens defense spanning decades. I mean, these dudes, if they had passed away, they'd be turning over in their graves, but they're not, so they're turning over in their king-size beds, okay? The bottom line is that these dudes are absolutely disgusted with a Baltimore Ravens defense that has been an utter disgrace.
So, Bart Stradamus, will this Ravens defense continue to be a utter disgrace, end quote? And also, could it be the weakness that keeps Lamar Jackson from having a great season?
Oh, the real is words I never wrote, but the truest words I ever spoke. Oh, he left one out. The Mad Backer was rolling and rolling and rolling in his bed, trying to get it wrapped around his head. How the putrid Dolphins of South Beach could come to Believeland, Baltimore, and steal the victory out of the grasp of the mighty Baltimore Ravens.
So is there concern? Should there be concern for the Ravens defense?
I predict pain, Alan.
Ooh.
Pain on the next opponent.
The Patriots.
Pain on the next head coach. Somebody's gotta die.
Wow.
And enter the dark side as the defense will have to respond. As the great Michael Singletary says, I'd rather play with one real one than 11 imposters with a real Ravens defense. Rise up from the ashes and embrace your destiny and your legacy.
This sounds more like an appeal than a prediction.
No!
Okay.
They will beat the brakes off of Mac Cheese.
All right, so.
And the Sith Lord itself that often goes on the dark side with I. shall be brought into the light.
So it is said?
So it is said.
So it shall be.
So it shall be.
All right.
And I'm sweating.
You really are. And wow, this took up a lot of time on one topic. So let's just get one more topic in quickly here. Another game that we're all going to be watching involves the Bucks and the Packers. And we've talked a lot about Tom Brady. We've talked a lot about what he's missing on that team. And their defense is very good. But how about the Green Bay Packers? Listen to what Dominique Foxworth had to say about how important this game is.
We think about Aaron Rodgers when we think about the Packers, and I think we feel like they don't have anything to prove because of Aaron Rodgers, but this team feels like an entirely new team. The offensive line isn't as great as it was. We've chronicled the receiver issues that they've had, and right now I think not only do they need to prove it to us, they need to prove it to themselves that they are as competitive a team as we hoped that they would be. And that defense played better last week against a lesser offense, but that is the real question.
So, Bart Stadamus, in this early matchup between two great quarterbacks, are we going to be talking less about these two and more about what's around them?
Two great defenses shall collide. But can Benjamin Button defeat Nicolas Cage? Oh, the advantage goes to The Rock. Oh, yes.
The Rock.
The Rock. One of Nicolas Cage's greatest movies.
Oh, the movie The Rock, yes.
Starring Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
On DVD now. Oh, yes. They took a beating last year in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But A-Aaron shall rally the troops.
Really?
And relax the Packers of Green Bay.
R-E-L-A-X.
So it is said.
So relax. It is said. So it shall be. But the Ravens!
Oh, no. No more Ravens, Bart Stadamus.
Short circuit.
You need to just.
Oh, I need an ambience.
This was a rough week for Bart Stadamus, clearly. A lot of emotion in that, no doubt about it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll continue with your calls. A lot more to get to on several stories around the NFL, and of course, Aaron Judge in his pursuit of a record. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Yeah. Shout out, Pete Rock, CL Smooth. You count all the fingers and the toes now, I suppose. You hope the little boy grows. Okay. Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Girl, in single parenthood, there I stood. By the time she was 21, had another one. Let's name a Pam. But you don't get. I mean, I can just keep going. This is one of my favorite songs ever.
The flow, man.
So much. 888-SAY-ESPN. See, they're going to just leave it go.
God, why you better kill it if you want to finish
right?
The show. Never. You better kill it, son. We ain't never going to move on.
Oh, man. Where are we at this point in the show?
Man. Ask the peoples.
Yeah, let's do that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
What they want to talk about?
Well, Tammy's in Pennsylvania talking to Aaron Judge. Tammy.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. I listen to you guys every day. I listen from 7 o'clock till 5 o'clock. So
wow.
I listen
Love
to
it.
All you guys.
Thank you.
But I am going to the game. I'm lucky enough to go to the game on Sunday, and I hope I see Judge hit his 61 and 62.
Wow. That by then,
my
let's
boys
see.
Are taking me.
If you get, if you
first
catch the
of
ball,
all,
are you going back to work ever?
That's the first question I'm asking. If you, where are you? Do you know where you're sitting? If you already have tickets?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My boys actually got me tickets back in July. I turned 50 last week, so this is my birthday.
Welcome
present.
To the club, baby.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
No,
it's not so bad.
I always said it
beats the alternative.
50 is the new 30.
That's right. That's what we'll go with that. That's fine.
I'll take that. So you know where you're sitting. Are you in the outfield at any by any chance?
I am not. We are in section 211.
Oh, well,
which is okay.
Look at that.
Which is
fancy.
Okay.
All right. Close enough.
But well, Mother's right. Day, I was there Mother's Day. I was in second row in the right field.
Oh, wow. And anything?
Yep. No.
Just some selfies
really
of you with him in the background,
good.
Basically, right? Just make
yeah.
sure.
Well, that, yeah, no, not really. I'm not good with selfies, but and my son wouldn't take any, so I just took pictures of him. It's okay.
All right, but I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Say the Yankees are losing, you know, it's the eighth inning. Are you leaving? Or are you like, no, I'm all the way to the last out?
No, honestly, my boys hate me for that. We will almost always stay till the very, very end, no matter what it is.
Love it. That's how you're supposed to be at this, especially at this point. Now you're exactly. in Pennsylvania. Are you making the trip up just for the game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that a couple times. Well, I shouldn't say I do it a couple times a year, but my at least once a year I go.
Tell me, we got to run, but it was great to talk to you. Enjoy the game.
Bart and Han.
You made a face.
I know, I was reading this.
Oh.
I was reading. No, I was reading. Prime is now, they got, millions of subscribers from Thursday's game.
Did they give out the numbers yet for the Amazon Prime game from Thursday?
Prime is now $139, but few know saving tricks. I was just trying to say how many. I'm trying to get the
numbers. I haven't seen those stats yet on how they did for the first Thursday night game that was on Amazon Prime exclusively, because that's something I've been waiting to see, but I haven't, because I was curious to see how those numbers go. Monday? So Monday night's doubleheader, 21 million people on average. 21 million people. Isn't that incredible?
That's crazy.
That's the power of football. It's really amazing. And we got a lot to get to on the football side of things, of course. But we also have some calls to get to as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart and Han presented by Progressive Insurance. And news from Bart and Han Nation, we've got Peter in Maine hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call in line. What's up, Peter?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Here's the deal. Long time Red Sox fan, like lifelong. And back in 1986, I thought that was as close as I'd ever get. Been very fortunate since then.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate greatness. What we're witnessing with Judge right now, absolutely astounding. Pay the man. Pay the man.
Yes.
Pay the man.
Yeah, yeah.
That said, I sure as hell hope he goes yard twice against the Pirates tonight, because I don't need the Red Sox having to wear that for the next 25 or 30 years. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, though?
Y'all didn't pay Mookie.
Pre-04, I would probably say, yeah, you guys have been through a lot. But since 04...
Yeah, y'all been winning.
Life's
good out there in Bingtown.
I can at least feel sorry for you. So if it happens against the Red Sox, I almost feel like there's something cool about that, because you consider that, you know, you guys gave us Babe Ruth. Thank you for that, by the way. That was much appreciated. And, you know, that would add to the story, the fact that he does it against... You know, one of the oldest rivals in the sports history. I mean, that's, you know, that part's cool. But we know what's weird, though? Peter, being a Red Sox fan, Bart, there's not the hate that there used to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even Jeter got, like, you know, they were selling Jeter shirts.
Yeah, Big Poppy was still there.
At the game.
Still beef, you know what I mean?
Like, no, I'm saying when Jeter, like, at the end of his career, his last appearances in Fenway, they were selling shirts. Like, they were like... You know, it was like it's respectful applause and stuff, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's like when Magic Johnson and Larry Bird became friends.
Yeah.
It almost like was like, all right, that's cool and all.
Yeah,
but it was more fun when we thought you hated each other.
Exactly. When y'all, you know, you thought he was the ops.
Yeah, it was a little different. Something else too, Bart, as we get more and more into football the rest of this week, is that Brett Favre story that everybody keeps saying that no one's talking about it. Now, you and I talked about it right away when it first happened.
Yeah, Lymph, yeah.
I just want to ask you, like, do you wonder why no one's talking about it? Richard Jefferson, the NBA player who works with us on the NBA stuff, he actually tweeted about it too. He couldn't believe like that not enough's being made of this.
How far his star has fallen, but he's been kind of
out. I'm still hearing his commercials, so nobody's pulling his commercials. Like Copperfit and all those other, they're not pulling their commercials.
Now that's surprising. It seemed like you would want to kind of keep him off of the radar, or maybe people don't care about who he stole it from. You know what I mean?
We didn't steal it.
It was money that was appropriated for the welfare.
It was the governor that made it happen. He just kind of was.
But then he doubled down and tried to act like he didn't know. Like, that electronic trail is always there.
The school paid money to him for appearances or speeches he never gave. Like, there's that. He claimed he didn't know about it, so he gave the money back.
Hold on.
But there's a lot going on.
He claimed that $600,000 went to his account. He didn't know that.
He didn't know that's what it was for. You're not buying that, are you?
Oh, man, I got an extra $200,000 in my account.
But that's the point everybody's making, is that... How is this not a bigger story?
Yeah, it was some whole scheme going on.
Yeah.
Like, not only that, like, the school paying him for doing work that he didn't do. It's even worse if it's bad if he shows up and you pay him, like, this crazy amount for him doing, you know, very minimum, showing up, signing an autograph. But he didn't even show up. And that sounds like some money laundering type of thing. Like, and what's that? Did the school give him that because of him getting the $5 million from the governor? So we'll put you some on the back.
A lot on that story. There's no doubt about it. Power Hour coming up next. Bart and Han.
Bart and Han.